From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. It's Friday, July 10th. Today on the podcast, a new leader for the state colleges system takes the helm at a tumultuous time.
I think we're at a really critical point in the history of the Vermont state colleges, and we need to determine whether, you know, the state is going to step up and support the Vermont state colleges.
First, today's headlines.
The health department reported 16 new cases of COVID-19 on Thursday. 11 confirmed cases are in Chittenden County. Other cases are scattered around the state in Windham, Bennington, Lamoille, and Essex counties. 3 people are hospitalized.
One major institution that had planned to stay closed all summer is opening up after all. Shelburne Museum will reopen at the end of the month. On Thursday, the museum's director announced that beginning July 30th, the grounds and some buildings will reopen to the public. Capacity is limited, and visitors must reserve tickets online and wear masks on site.
And another community is now requiring people to wear face masks in public areas and local businesses. Woodstock made the move this week as it began to see an influx of seasonal visitors. The Valley News reports there's no penalty for violating the mask requirement, and there are exceptions for people eating at restaurants or exercising.
The Vermont State Colleges have had a tough spring. Like pretty much every other higher ed institution, they sent students home in mid-March, and they switched to remote instruction for the rest of the semester. Anna, you know from experience how tough that was.
I do. But so a few weeks after all that happened, State College's Chancellor Jeb Spalding made this bombshell proposal to close 3 of the State College campuses, Northern Vermont University in Lyndon and Johnson and Vermont Technical College in Randolph. The plan would also have laid off 500 employees before the fall. He said the state colleges were facing a huge budget deficit, between $7 and $10 million.
I know this is painful news for a large number of Vermonters, and can't sugarcoat that.
Spalding said that in an interview with me the day that he announced the plan, and he was right. It was painful news for many, and the backlash was loud and fast.
Part of the reason why we're in this position is because we have been tied for dead last in the country for state higher ed funding. We are not going to forget that, nor are we going to let them off the hook.
That's Jessica Visneski, a part-time professor at Northern Vermont University, at a protest in Montpelier just a few days after Spalding's announcement. Students, faculty, and staff all spoke out against the plan. And so did lawmakers, like Essex Orleans Senator John Rogers, who worried about the potential economic hit to the Northeast Kingdom.
There will be tons of vacant houses. The kids won't be coming to town to spend money. So I think we really need to have somebody do the full economic analysis as to what do those colleges contribute to the state.
Ultimately, the legislature committed to bailing out the state colleges system with state money and with federal COVID relief funds. And Spalding reversed his plan.
Vermont State College's Chancellor Jeb Spalding has withdrawn a controversial recommendation.
And then just a few days later,
Jeb Spalding, Chancellor of the Vermont State Colleges system, has announced he will submit his resignation tomorrow.
The State Colleges Board chose Sophie Zadatny, the school's general counsel, to take over as interim chancellor while they looked for someone to permanently take the position. And then on Monday, they announced that permanent leader would be Sophie Zadatny.
And it just so happened that, thanks to our now former colleague Amy Kolb-Noyes, I already had an interview scheduled with Zadatny this week, and we're going to hear that now. The first thing I wanted to know was, given the pandemic, the demographic crisis facing colleges right now, and the state college's financial struggles, why does she want the job?
That's a really good question. When I first took the position, I was serving as the general counsel for the Vermont State Colleges. I have been with the Vermont State Colleges for almost 6 years. And I was asked to step in. I understood it would be sort of for a few weeks while they found somebody else to come in and take over. Once I was in the position, there was a lot of stuff that needed doing immediately, particularly working with the legislature in terms of funding requests and other issues that needed to be dealt with internally. And once I got used to being in the role, I sort of grew into it and was, you know, quite enjoying it despite the challenges that we're confronting. The Board of Trustees did conduct a search. They spoke to many candidates. Ultimately, I think it is a very, very challenging time, and I think people were concerned about, you know, coming in with the challenges we had in front of us. And, you know, I'm very appreciative of the board deciding that I would be the right person to continue on in the role, given the start that I've had over the past couple of months. And I think we recognize that continuity is really critical at this point. There's been a lot of changes and uncertainty, and obviously dealing with the coronavirus doesn't help, because that in and of itself lends itself to tremendous uncertainty right now regarding the upcoming academic year.
Well, let's talk about some of those challenges. As I mentioned, former Chancellor Spalding resigned after an attempt to close three of the campuses. That was an effort to keep the overall system afloat. The state college system just received $35 million in federal aid from the legislature. In a few words, what's the state of the system's finances right now?
They're challenged, but I mean, I'm hopeful that we will be able to get to a place where we have a sustainable and viable Vermont State College system in the future. And the money you just mentioned, the $37 million, is obviously enormously helpful, but it does come with strings attached. That comes out of the Coronavirus Relief Fund money, so it really doesn't fill some of the gaps that we have in our finances. So we will be working with the legislature to continue discussing bridge funding for this coming year, and also what the funding for the Vermont State Colleges will look like in the future.
So students are due to be back on state college campuses in just a little over a month, August 18th. If there were to be a significant change in the coronavirus here in Vermont, a rise in cases, would that change your plans for the semester to proceed as planned in August?
We will continue to look at what's evolving and adjust as need be. I mean, what happened back in March was, you know, the very first colleges decided they were going to go online and send everybody home, and everyone thought, well, that's rather an overreaction. And then within a relatively short period of time, you know, everyone realized, oh, yeah, no, this is something that we all need to be doing. So I don't deny the possibility that events will supersede where we're at. So right now we're going to follow what the Vermont Department of Health requires us to do. We're going to follow what the mandatory guidance requires us to do. We're going to look at what we can do internally to make sure we're taking, you know, reasonable precautions to make the workplace as safe as possible for our faculty and staff, and then for the students when they come back. So, but yeah, we recognize that we will have to adjust, just as we adjusted in March, if the situation changes.
In terms of the physical campuses that you have currently, obviously the plan earlier this year to potentially close some of those campuses caused a lot of upheaval. Are you committed to keeping all of the state colleges' campuses open?
I'm going to be clear. This is my personal view. Is I think we need to be present in Lyndon Johnson and Randolph, and we need to be providing education to students in each of those locations.
And those are the places that would have closed under the plan that did not go through.
Correct. Right. What I do not know is what the education will necessarily look like in those places. So, while I believe that we should be providing education in those particular locations, it may be that, you know, the nature of what that looks like, again, and these are just hypotheticals, you know, maybe it won't look like a traditional four-year undergraduate, you know, college in Lyndon and in Johnson. Maybe it will look something different. I don't know yet. But in terms of serving rural students, I do believe that's a very high priority, and we need to make sure that we are present, particularly, and again, I emphasize this because this is the one people always ask about, but particularly in the Northeast Kingdom.
You mentioned that you may need to come back to the legislature for more funding. Is that a conversation that's already ongoing beyond the CARES money that you just received?
Right. So in the first quarter transitional budget that was just passed by the State House and signed by the governor, it covers the first quarter of the budget for the upcoming fiscal year. And in that, we were provided with $5 million in additional funding. My understanding is that amount is a placeholder amount, that we will continue to have a conversation as to the amount of additional bridge funding the Vermont State Colleges will need for the upcoming financial year. I think we're at a really critical point in the history of the Vermont State Colleges, and we need to determine whether, you know, the state is going to step up and support the Vermont State Colleges in the future. I don't think we can continue to do what we've been doing, which is a very slow, painful you know, death by a thousand cuts kind of approach that's been happening for the past few years, where we've tried to meet, provide balanced budgets, but just through cutting and attrition. And it just, at some point, you just cannot continue to do that. It will really impact the quality of the education the students receive, and it's just not sustainable.
And will you be able to make it through this academic year without budget cuts?
We are working on the budget right now. I mean, it's, again, we've, just like the state is looking at doing a first quarter budget because they just don't know what the picture looks like. You know, they can't really do a budget for the whole year given the current level of uncertainty. We will be doing the same thing. We're looking at doing first quarter budgets now. So it is, I can't really answer that question because there are just too many unknowns for us at this moment. But we will be looking at, again, what do we need to look like in the future? How do we get from today to building the Vermont State College system of the future? And we're looking at this year as a transitional year to make some of those really difficult decisions. Everything in higher education takes quite a long time. So I don't imagine it will be fully accomplished within 1 year, but we need to at least get the groundwork set. We need to know what direction we're going in and then start moving towards that within this year.
Sophie Zadatny is the new chancellor of the Vermont State College System. Sophie Zadatny, thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency. We had additional reporting today from Karen Anderson and Steve Zind.
To get in touch with us, you can email us at thefrequency@vpr.org or find us on Twitter at @thefrequencyvpr.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you on Monday. And apologies to the state of Vermont for suggesting that New Hampshire has more grit than them.
Well, no, I guess I have to ask, like, Vermont or New Hampshire, Henry, like, which do you prefer?
You questioning my loyalty?
Maybe.
I'll say this. I've lived in Vermont for 3 years, and I've maybe driven through New Hampshire, like, once in that time period. So
That was not a direct answer to my question.
I mean, we have a lot of listeners in New Hampshire. And, you know, they're very distinct states, and I'm not going to say it on tape.